massive thank you for taking your time. And I've got to say, first thing, the new album, Wolflight, I really have enjoyed it. It's been a great rock album. How was it creating that album?
I had great pleasure doing it. I was very busy on the road most of the time, so much of it was put together very quickly. Although it sounds like it took forever because it's got tons of detail on it, I think modern technology affords quite a lot of flexibility. And but the main thing is, it was a thrill to work on it. I loved working with the people who were on it. And of course, it was the last thing that Chris Squire ever recorded on the track "Love Song to a Vampire." So I'm lucky enough to have been the last person that he recorded with. He made such a difference to that track. Wonderful sound, lovely guy, great working with him. We'd worked together before on several projects and did an album together called Squack It many years ago. Apart from that, yeah, I had a great time doing the album. I would have loved to have had much longer, but I was selling the studio that we had, and the clock was ticking. I was very aware of that. So many tracks towards the end were really done on the fly. But I don't think it sounds like that. I think that it sounds very convincing. there's to the early days when I first did solo stuff back in 1975, all those years ago, I fell in love with the process of doing solo stuff, because I had a great team, and things came together very quickly in those days. I did an album in a month, which I wouldn't want to do an album any more quickly than that. But we had to work practically as fast with this one, because they're just, I had to grab days as they became available in the midst of a really busy touring schedule that had gone on for 2 or 3 years. So it's a great life if you don't weaken. And we kept the team motoring on that one, and I think it's one of the best. I think it's probably the most consistent album I've ever done in terms of sound. It's considering it's got stuff that really runs the gamut of styles that are very separate to each other. It's surprising that the response was so good to it, and a complete relief that it was a hit, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. The album was brilliant, and there was a lot of hype. I mean, I don't always like reading through reviews that people have written, but I like to look sometimes. But there was a lot of positive word. There was a lot of high notice about it. So I think that was good, and that obviously got people talking about it. But also as well, as you were saying, it was the last work of Chris Squire. And I couldn't even fathom how that must feel, to have someone of such status basically leaving his final mark on something of your own.
I know. I haven't really had time, to be honest. Life has been so busy. But I just want to go back and listen to everything that Chris has done. And, of course, I get this piecemeal. For instance, when I was in Hungary touring recently, somebody played me, I think it was the very first Yes album, where they'd even done a cover of a Beatle tune on it. And it is staggering, what that band achieved. And his presence within it, his sound. He was like a kind of a lead instrumentalist who happened to be playing bass guitar. He wasn't really playing fundamental notes. He was weaving a melody in a subterranean kind of way, underneath what was going on, and with that very toppy sound that he had. So you had this kind of counterpoint to everything else. Perhaps he learned that from his days as a a choir boy, you know, and learned what harmony was all about way back then. So it's fascinating working with a guy like that. And of course, he had legendary status, and we hit it off together. It was lovely, you know. We were practically in the same band together. He asked me to join Yes at one point, and I thought, well, that would be really, you know, I was really flattered. I thought, well, to have played lead with Genesis and with Yes, that would be something to have done. But I realized I was committed to this course of taking Genesis stuff back on the road and many other things. So I'm really solo, which means I can march in and out of various bands. I can march in and out of Squacket. I can march in and out of my solo stuff and present a whole show of Genesis stuff. And when we take the stuff live again, I'll be doing a set of solo and a set of Genesis stuff. A lot of songs from way back, and some of which I've never performed before live, like Can Utility and the Coastliners, Cinema Show from 1973, Get 'Em Out by Friday. What else? Land Lies Down on Broadway, and we'll be doing it in surround. So both sets will be in surround, yeah, it's a sort of renewed commitment to all things idiosyncratic, going your own sweet way, even when people might say, "Oh, don't do that," you know, "Oh, you don't want to do that. What you want is one of these." You know, it's important to, I think, to be unpopular to be popular is what it's all about. I've always thought that you've got to fly in the face of criticism and advice, and never follow the crowd. Just do exactly what you want to do yourself.
One album that I did listen to of yours only recently was mm-hmm. Voyage of the Acolyte, and I didn't realise that album is actually 40 years old this year.
It is, yeah, it's 40 years old, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And does that feel like, because obviously that was your first solo album, does that feel like it's been that long since you started doing your own stuff?
No, it doesn't feel like that, no. It seems like yesterday, of course, you know, that old cliche, but it's true. And there's going to be a box set of 14 CDs, many of which are, you know, surround mixes by Stephen Wilson and stereo mixes and the original mixes and three live concerts, a Reading Festival set amongst them. It doesn't seem like that long ago. No, it never seems like long ago, because inside I'm still 15, you see, but outwardly, that, you know, biology would tell a different story, but in spirit, I'm still 15 years old. I've never really grown up.
Yeah, and also at that time, when that album came out, you were still in Genesis, so a lot of the music that you did produce did have Phil Collins and Mike Rutherford helping that. Do you think that helped you with making your album?
Oh, well, it did, yes. I mean, I borrowed Mike's 12-string, I borrowed the band's Mellotron, I borrowed the band's rhythm section, and it was also my brother's debut. Is the first album that he was doing professionally. I'm playing fantastic flute, wonderful, and synth. We were sharing out the keyboard duties between myself and my brother and John Aycock, the late, great John Aycock, who I made many albums with, engineering and... great loss. He died last year. I can't remember what the question was now, but I'll try and give you an enthusiastic answer.
No, that was pretty much on it anyway. So I was going to also just say about the time with Genesis, because I know a lot of people say it was a long time ago, and that, but the time that you was there was a big time of change, because you were there for when Peter Gabriel was leading the band, and then you was there for when Phil Collins took over, and that must have been a very weird time for you to experience that change.
I did two more albums with the band. We did Trick of the Tail and Wind and Wuthering, and came up with Seconds Out, the live version. Yeah, it was an interesting time. I knew that Phil was a great singer. In fact, I'd encouraged him with that. The very first thing I wrote for the band was something that he and I put together, and he sang it on Nursery Crime, a little song called For Absent Friends. And he had a very similar vocal tone to Pete. It's not often that you get two great rock singers in one band, but when they sang duets, you know, it sounded like an automatic double track. They sounded absolutely like one voice live. And so something happened in the stars. There was some strange alignment or configuration that threw us all together. A band of three of us were Aquarians, myself, Pete, and Phil, with an Aquarian manager. Strange, that, isn't it? Tony Smith. But it must have happened for a reason. Something unique happened. I think whatever I was trying to design the band to do, something else happened entirely. But wasn't it great, you know, what happened along the way? You know, many things happen through happy accidents and misfires, but I wanted to expand the band's keyboard arsenal so that we would sound more orchestral, which I thought would help the storytelling aspect of the band. I think it helps to stretch musicians if there's some kind of story, even if it's just a title with an instrumental. And I think that's quite similar to the approach of Yes, you know, at times. When you get something aptly named, it can take you on that journey off to literally other worlds, I think. I think the challenge for any writer is to try and write a song that's a kind of world unto itself. And I do believe there's several British bands that have managed to pull that off. The Beatles, certainly. Many of the progressive bands, and right up to and including the present day with Muse, who will do you know, music that's influenced by everything from Chopin to Prince, and why not?
Okay, the one last thing I've got to talk about Genesis on is because sure. After a little while you did then leave the band, and I think the influence that you had, I've got to say, mm-hmm. did stick afterwards, because as you were saying, that bands like progressing, having to, I always see that band has to change. They have to be able to keep up with what's there on the time, but also keep to what they know and keep to what they are comfortable with. And I felt that
sure.
with Genesis, especially after you were gone, I felt that they then did take that on, and it was like, okay, we did change. And throughout the years, I think there was various different styles, and I think that is what obviously kept them popular, kept them at the top, because they did manage to yep. keep that going. And do you think that, and when you listen to their songs, especially since you departed, did you feel that yourself as well?
I think it was a powerful band in all its incarnations. You know, there's several incarnations. You know, there's the period of myself and Phil and Pete, but then there's the era before that as well. Even when they were, you know, still at school, and you can tell that there was drive and ambition, and the songs were different. They were gentler, perhaps, and there was a certain shyness and a reticence to it. But even though it was very introverted, I think perhaps it was very filmic and very romantic in a way. So I think all of those eras brought something to the band, and I think the later era where drums became the lead instrument, I think that worked as well, certainly. But you know, you could argue that it was Pete that gave Phil his drum sound, or you could say it was Phil that gave Genesis its commercial edge, and you could say that for detail freaks, the era that I was involved with the band may have served to make it as a kind of time capsule or time machine going backwards and forwards in time, so you could have, you know, you'd have Greek mythology or science fiction, and the band could do different things. It could make different films for the year, The music was visual in a different kind of way to the era that followed after my departure. The the advent of MTV and the video era of the band, where the songs were shorter and more pithy, perhaps. But I think all of the eras had something to offer.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about your upcoming live shows, because you are going to be doing some touring in promotion of Wolflight. And how does it feel for you to now be getting on the road and bringing out this new music to your audience?
Well, I'm looking forward to doing some of these new tunes, because they haven't been performed live before, and we'll be doing them in surround. And I've wanted to do surround for a very long time, and I finally got to the point where everyone's run out of arguments for not doing it. So it'll also be nice to present the Genesis stuff in surround live as well. We'll be doing two sets, one of which is solo, and the other one is going to be Genesis stuff. But I'm trying to concentrate on Genesis tunes that have not been heard recently from the Originators, and stuff like Can Utility and the Coastliners, Cinema Show, Ramazan on Broadway, Get Him Out by Friday, to mention but a few.
Yeah.
And of course all the new stuff, as I say, the Wolflight stuff is, I'm looking forward to the challenge of that, and it's quite a tall order for one band to be able to cover, that amount of stuff. It has to be very broad based to attempt any of those things from the various separate eras.
Yeah, because this was what I was going to ask as well, because there was the Genesis Revisited albums and the recent one as well, because I was listening to some of the songs and I was trying to remember tracks that I've heard before, and I was listening to the style, and I have to think the ones that you did, especially from the Foxtrot album, I thought were absolutely brilliant. I think the Supper's Ready one, when I listened to it, I didn't actually know how long that track was on for. So that was a bit of a fun one. But
I think, the original was about 23 minutes long, and my version is about 25 minutes long, because there's a great long guitar solo at the end, and why not? I always wanted to take it to the mountains, and that was something that I've made a feature of live, playing that and trying to wring every last bit of emotion out of the end of it. I do remember Peter Gabriel saying that he believed very much in that track, and he felt that he was singing for his life at the end of it. And I always felt that I was doing the same with the playing, where I was playing it out and playing for my life and trying to wring every last sound and bit of emotion out of the guitar that I could. Most of the time you think, oh, well, I've done this, I've done that, I've done it. But just occasionally, you'd hit some notes and it would just start doing something of its own volition. And I always wanted that feeling of some great spirit taking over and really having a visit from somewhere else, that feeling that some musicians have, where it's, I remember talking to the young Hugo Dagenhart, who's a fabulous drummer I worked with years ago, and he said, I always feel like an imposter. And I said, no, you're the real thing. He said, just occasionally, something takes over and I become the real thing. And that's what we're all looking for. We get glimpses of that, but sometimes you just get blown away by the fact that someone else takes hold of your hands, your amplifier, and does it like it's supposed to be. And those are the moments that improvisation allows you to have, that spontaneous thing where you don't play the same thing every night, but you do allow yourself to get carried away.
Okay, so once the album's been promoted, once you've hit the road and had this music out and you've been playing the Genesis stuff again, what are your plans going ahead after the tour?
Well, It'll take me right up to Christmas, because we're touring pretty much the world with this, and that'll keep me busy till Christmas. Then after Christmas Day, I think I'll be back at home, and I'll be building a new studio in the garden. Once that's done, I look forward to making weird and wonderful sounds in it. So I can't wait to be doing that. So I love the process of recording new tunes. And there's some new technology. I've got some new pedals, which, new toys. Can't wait to play with them.
This is just a very, very quick question. And sure. This is one that I actually had posed to me by a friend, by a couple of friends of mine, and they basically said, if you were asked if you were to return to Genesis with Phil, with Mike, and with whoever was there, would you go back and play again?
Well, I would if I was offered. I think the other guys know that I'm up for that. Who knows? Maybe one day everyone will come to their senses and realize that actually what people want is the full team doing that at the same time. And to quote John Cleese, before one of us dies, you know.
yeah, please don't do a one down five to go or anything like that.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. No, hopefully not. It would be nice. Yeah, it'd be good.
And Steve, last question I've got for you is, if you, because I know you've worked with lots of great people, including on this album, you've had some fantastic collaborations, but if there was anyone in the world of music that you'd love to work with, who would you choose and why would you choose that person?
Oh, goodness me. It's funny, I always wanted to work with Buffy St. Marie. I've never done that. I always felt that there had to be the right tune to do that, because I do think she's an extraordinarily exceptional singer and thinker and a fierce champion of world peace and Indian rights and all of that. Yes, I would love to do that at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. She might be listening and go, yeah, Joe, Steve Hackett sounds good.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Go for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, Steve, first, massive thank you once again. This has been really great. And
yeah, well, thank you. Thank you very much, John. Been very nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Have to talk again.
Thank you. I'd love to. Thank you very much, Steve. All the best with the tour. Best with the album.
Yeah, you too. And all the best to you. May all your dreams come true.
Oh, I certainly always wish that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.